be seated. I have some dates coming up that I'd like for you to pray about. On the 10th of February, I'll be going back for some more therapy. Still doing my self-dilation. And then on the 15th, very important date, they're going to do the barium test on me, swallow. You may have heard some rumors that I'm eating. It's not really eating. I'm drinking some chicken noodle soup and stuff like that, hot tea, little bit spoonful at a time. But be praying about that. We're really anxious for it. If you have your Bibles open, watch the screen on the board. You heard the reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 58. I want to speak to you this morning about the if the rapture were to be in the next 24 hours or next hour, 1 second after the rapture, where would you be? I want you to think about that as we look at it this morning. I got quite a few notes and research, and so my main point is that for you to know that you're saved. When the rapture comes, there'll be things going on in heaven. If you're a child of God, you'll be there. You'll be in the rapture. You'll be taken. If you're not, you will not. You'll still be here on earth. Or if you've died during that time, you'll be laying in the ground still. The only people leaving is those that were saved, born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it tells us what we will go through in heaven before we get together and do all the good things. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's not a judgment for sins. It's a judgment for rewards, for works that we've done. We'll talk about that. But we come before Christ over in 1 Corinthians, we'll not turn there, chapter 3, he tells us our works will be tried. He'll put them in the fire. And that's precious stone, gold and silver will remain. That's wood, hay and stubble will burn up. So what we do now is very important for Christ when we get there. The rewards that you'll possibly receive is a crown of rejoicing for winning souls to Christ. Everything that we've done to help bring souls to Christ, there's many crowns that will be given out and receive of Christ. You'll receive the crown of life, but you must love the Lord and persevere under trial. James chapter 1, verse 12 will tell you about that. The crown of righteousness. Living a righteous life is not an easy thing to do in the world. Even after we're saved and have the power of God and the Holy Spirit moving us, because to love and to live that life so that others might see Christ living in us. We were talking in a Sunday school class this morning. Why was I born to be here? You were born to become a child of God. Once you become a child of God, you were born to influence people that are not Christian, that they might come to God. The crown of righteousness, you must finish your course and love him at his appearing, and not being ashamed. The Apostle Paul talks about being ashamed when we come before Christ. If we've not done and taken the opportunities that God has given us to do what he wants us to do. As I said, that's not easy. Getting saved and becoming a child of God is about the easiest thing that you will do. My mic working okay? All right. Getting saved is easy. Christ did it all. All you have to do is come to Him in faith, believing, confessing that you're a sinner and that you want to be saved, and you're saved. And you're sure of heaven. That's a wonderful thing. Nothing can take that from you once you become a child of God. The hard part is living out your Christian life, being a Christian every day, saying the right things, doing the right things, being the right person, loving the unloving, living for God, praying. We talked about sweet hour of prayer, and we pray in about 2 minutes. We talk about all the things that we have, and then we go out and be like the world. So we'll have a new, and we're on point number two, Jason, a new resurrected body. Think of that. Those of you maybe younger, not think about that yet, but I assure you, if you live long enough, you will. You're going to appreciate the fact of getting a new body. He says in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body. It's a vile piece of dirt that you're living in. And when you're young, you can make it beautiful and things happen, but after a while, things go bad. Parts of it, your heart, your liver, your kidneys, your immune system can't fight like it used to. You gain weight and get overweight. You look ugly. You look in the mirror and say, is that really me? One time there was a man and a wife, and he would go up as he got older, and he would look at the pictures of his mom and dad. He'd go up there and look at his mom, and he said to the picture, I'm getting ready to come home. Pray for me. I don't feel like I can live in this world anymore. And his wife noticed he was doing all that, going up there and looking. And so she went up there one day, and she thought she'd look at it. And actually, it was a picture of her. He'd look at her picture, too, because he loved his wife. She looked at her picture, and she thought, is that the ugly hag he comes to look at every day? And went down there and started beating him over the head. So sometimes you get older, you can't fix it up as good as you used to. But thank God, you get a new and resurrected body. I used to run marathons. Matter of fact, I won a couple of them in my age division, my time. But I can hardly make it move up the steps now. So time takes its toll on us. You get a resurrected body. Think about that. We'll have the celebration of the marriage of the Lamb. The Church of God is the Lamb of God, is the bride of God, excuse me. And we'll have the Lamb's marriage. In Revelation 19, 6 through 8 says, and I heard as it were a voice, one of a great multitude. Think about that. This is right after the rapture. You're going to hear that voice. Many waters, and the voice of many thunderings, and saying, hallelujah, to the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. This Lamb, that's the Church presented to Jesus Christ, and God will perform the marriage. He says in verse 8, and to her, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Think of that, that you will be a part of that majestic being together with the whole Church of Jesus Christ. Not just our church, every church that is a church. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a symbolic representation of the joyful, intimate, and eternal fellowship that takes place between Jesus Christ, the Lamb, and the bride, his church. What a day! What a day! Well, we get excited about that. A lot of things down here, we make a lot of to-do over. Think about that. What will be going on earth? What will be happening on earth? In a moment, I'll read a verse. If you are alive and you've never accepted Christ, you've had opportunity to, you will never be able to receive him again. You'll die without Christ. Think of that. If you've heard about him or you know someone that's heard about him and given an opportunity to be saved and didn't accept him, and on earth to begin the 7-year tribulation, the minute Christ gets his bride out of here, the minute that God's people are gone, this world's in bad shape, but wait till the tribulation. This is just a picture. This pandemic and the events that we're having is just a picture of what's going to happen. It's just a little bit. The Antichrist comes on the scene. Antichrist means he's not Christ, but he pretends to be Christ and persuades people. We read about that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. We have the 7 seal judgments are opened up. These are the 7 curses and judgments that God brings on the world. To the people who are left behind, those that are not taken away, things are not pretty. Things are not good. We take the church and we take the name of Christ and we take the love of God and kind of just gloss through it in our Bibles. But think about it when God punishes this world and the people who reject him. You read about it in Revelation. We have 144,000 Jewish men who get saved and they become the preachers. Because you see, the Jewish people as a religion have not accepted Christ. They've not trusted him. And so they will get preached to by these 144 preachers. They'll have their opportunity to come to Christ. You read about that in Revelation chapter 7. The Antichrist is killed and raised from the dead. And those who didn't believe, they'll be thinking, hey, this is it. We've got it. This is our Christ. And they will run and follow after him. They'll take the mark of the beast. During that time, if you're alive and you've not accepted Christ, you won't be able to get food. We're having examples of it already. If you don't have the shot, you can't get on a plane somewhere, right? And you can't be accepted. Think of a time when if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy groceries. You can't eat. You can't go to places of business. So you either take the mark of the beast or you'll die. One way or the other. And you die without Christ. You go to the place called hell. It's not a funny place, folks. It's not a funny thing. It's not, oh, well, I'm saved. We need to think about the seriousness of it. Then 2 witnesses, we're told he's probably, is Moses and Elijah and others have different names, but there'll be 2 witnesses begin their 3.5 ministry. The first 3.5 years, it's not going to look too bad. One of the things the Antichrist will do is he'll unite the world to be all peaceful. He'll probably solve the pandemic problem. He'll solve all the problems that we have, and people be saying, this is pretty good. There'll be one world religion, one world economic, one world financial system, all be taking place with him. We're fast moving on that stage right now. There wants to be one. People ask you, why do you have a church? All churches are the same. No, no. That all churches believe in a virgin-born Christ. That all churches believe that when you trust Christ, you have to trust him as your Savior, complete by the grace. They teach you got to do some things. Not all churches are the same. It talks about the mark of the beast being introduced. Then, when all that is sweet peace, love, and life, we have in Revelation 16, all hell begins to break loose on earth. The Battle of Armageddon begins. We're told that the blood of the horses they're riding will be wading through bridle deep blood in the valley and before the mount of Armageddon. It's going to be terrible, terrible. Think about the people who have sinned against the Almighty God. Think about, there's another verse, I don't have it at my hand right now, but when the hands reach out from under the altar, bloody hands, these are said to be the little babies that have been aborted over the years. And those that have to look upon them, and then will be judged by God for their dastardly deeds of killing our unborn. This is a terrible, terrible time. We see Satan is bound then and put in the abyss in Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. I'm glad to hear that one day he's going to be bound, aren't you? I'm glad to hear that old devil fights. I know what it is to fight the devil. There was a preacher one day preached on sin and the devil and how he gets to do bad things. One lady going out the door said to the preacher, she said, "Preacher, I want you to know the devil don't bother me at all." He said, "Ma'am, he don't bother anybody that belongs to him. But you get saved. And you take a stand for God, and he's going to fight you." A lot of people say, "You know, I didn't have it so bad, but I got saved and started going to church." Then all, well, of course, the devil was mad he lost you. He's going to fight you. He's going to try you. He's going to test you. He's going to offer you. Two things he wants to do is keep the unsaved unsaved, and he wants to keep the saved from trying to get anybody saved. And if you're doing anything like that, you're going to have a fight with the devil. You're going to fight him. And you need to have your Bible and your prayer life and your church life so you can fight him. Because he'll get you down, he'll kick you, he'll cause you to doubt, he'll cause you to have bad thoughts, cause you to have bad things. Then we see the Old Testament and tribulation saints are resurrected in Revelation 24. Heaven is getting sweeter and more beautiful all the time. More all the time. When I think about heaven and the people who've gone on. Then we see the 1,000-year reign. That's when we leave heaven and come back to earth with Christ and run this place like it's supposed to be. And the Bible says that Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. There won't be anybody saying, is this right or wrong? There won't be any Supreme Court deciding whether it's right or wrong to kill babies, or whether it's right to say amen, or whether it's right to have Christmas there won't be any Supreme Court deciding if gay marriage is okay. There won't be any Supreme Court saying transgender. I guess you heard the young man, I guess he was, I don't know, some kind of a male, changed himself to girl and won the swimming race. I guess you heard about it, huh? How tragic. How tragic. Now they're saying one of those girls was going to win and beat him, but she let him win. Her, whatever, it, whatever they are. There'll be no Supreme Court saying that's right. There'll be no Supreme Court telling a man in a bakery factory, you have to bake a cake for this gay couple getting married because they want your cake to be made. There won't be that. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. Amen? Thank God for that day. If you're saved, we're headed there. We'll be at peace with God while the world gets judged. We'll see Satan's final revolt and defeat in Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10. When God consumes Satan, Satan the devil, Satan the Antichrist, Satan has his way of working, as I said. And then there'll be the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. That's where all the lost will be judged. Everyone who's not saved will be brought before God. But I thought I went to the church. I thought I got baptized. I thought I did some good things. Depart from me, for I never knew you. That's what God will say. People think you get saved and get lost. He never said, I once knew you, now I don't know you. I never knew you. I never knew you. You're not one of my saints. You can't come into my heaven. Cast him into outer darkness, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, into the devil's pit that burneth with eternal fire. And the doubters say no such thing. I believe God's word. God says eternal fire, and if God says eternal fire, it's eternal fire. You can bank on it. I won't know because I'm not going there. I've made my reservations in heaven. Come to Jesus now if you have any doubts about it. You can make fun. You can laugh. You can do all you want to. It says all against science. I don't believe in science. I believe in God. Science gets it right one time and did everything else to say is supposed to be right. Well, a stop clock's right twice a day. You want to believe in science? You go ahead and believe in science. Now, how many times have they changed their mind about the pandemic and the COVID? And some woman, 90 years old, dies. Oh, she got the COVID. Well, good Lord, what's wrong with people? What is wrong with people? Tell me. People die of all ages. Young people die. An overdose of drugs, die of car accidents. The destruction of the present heavens and earth will take place when all the mountains are moved out of place. Every island, the whole creation shakes and moves. Peter talks about it. Think about it. Folks, we're living in a real world. You go home, enjoy your day. You enjoy your time. But remember what I'm telling you. The rapture takes place 1 second. You're going to be in a world that hell has turned loose on, or you're going to be in heaven. like that. God is going to take the saints and rapture them out. Then he creates the new heaven and the new earth. Everything will be like God wants it to be. Wonderful, wonderful God. We have a great big wonderful God. Everyone sitting in his pews this morning, you are wonderfully made by the hand of God. You are the beginning. You are the start of something wonderful. Not to be destroyed in a hell. That's your choice. You reject Christ's offer to come today. So in conclusion this morning, I'd like to ask you, are you saved? And I told you I'd tell you from the Bible, there comes a time in your life if you reject Christ, and think of this, you've rejected him, you've heard about him, you've been offered him, and you've offered him, and the rapture takes place, you're nil, you're done. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, have it on the screen, Jason. Please. 2:10 says, here's what the devil does. You know, the devil was once an angel of light. The most beautiful, most smartest angel in all of heaven. But he rebelled. Tempted Eve in the garden. And verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness, that's what he's a master at, deceiving people. Make them think, and of the unrighteous in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not in truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's a sad, sad thing, but it's there. You reject God today, the rapture happens before we get home, you're done. You're done. Come and believe on Christ today. Whosoever believeth, Christ. I trust you, Christ. I believe you died for my sins. I want you to save me. Simple childlike prayer. But if you don't, well, I thought I did one. Listen, no thinking about it. I hope I am. No, hope doesn't do it. Hope only works in the life of a Christian after you are a Christian. You don't have any hope. Jesus is our hope. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have a hope. You can hope all you want to. I hope it don't rain. Don't make any difference. Your hope's no good. Our hope is Him. Our love is Him. Are you saved today? Do you know Him? Let me ask you a related question. Do you have family? Do you have friends? Do you have loved ones? And after that, guess what? God will put a love in your heart that you can tell your enemies about Christ. You can tell those people that don't like you and you don't like. Because you know what? God wants them to be saved too. Just as much as He wants your family to be saved, He wants your enemies to be saved. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're sure of Christ, that you've trusted Him, would you just raise your hand as a witness to God? I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved. You may put your hands down. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand, rest of you remain eyes closed a moment. Open your eyes and look at me if you couldn't raise your hand. Simple childlike prayer. Dear Lord, in the best way I know how, I ask you to come in my heart, my life, be my Savior. I confess I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved. And thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer, or will pray that prayer, something similar to that prayer, raise your hand and say, Pastor Hodge, I want to pray that prayer. I want to be saved. I'm not, but I want to be. No hands? Do you know someone that needs to pray that prayer? Some friend, some relative? Would you raise your hand and vow that you'll pray for them? Thank you. You may put your hand down. Dear Lord, as we close this service today, I pray that no one here was too afraid or to raise their hand, if wasn't saved, that would ask Christ into their heart and life. While the piano plays softly for a moment, if you'd like to come to the altar, maybe you lost the assurance of your salvation. You haven't been close to Jesus. You won't get back close like you once were. Come, the altar's open. We're singing our closing song. You still have time to come. God bless you.
No more. Just now, throw open the
tonight. God bless you. The service tonight. Don't forget the nominating committee meet with me at 6 o'clock this evening. Good to see you out. Has it started January at all out there yet? No? I guess we're going to have it in February this year. If desire. It was pretty cold this morning, wasn't it? Some of these people never get cold. I don't know how they do it. It was cold to me. All right, I guess that's all. Did I miss anything? Miss anybody? Welcome to all of you. Love you. Hope to see you again. God bless you. And I'm getting more homesick for heaven all the time, folks. This world's in bad shape. We're going to have a new Supreme Court justice, probably. And, you know, making sure that it's a woman and making sure she's black is what he said. Now, I'm not against, as a matter of fact, I meant to bring my cards. I met a young black woman. What is her name? She's running for state senate. For Senate. Huh? Barnett. That's who you want to vote for United States Senator from Pennsylvania. I met her Friday. What a lady. What a woman. I'm telling you, we need some more men to stand up like that. Doug Mastriano has endorsed her, too. And I'm hoping to have both of them out here. Doug will be here on the 4th of July for our revival. And they want me to have her, too. We're trying to do all we can. But I want to occupy till he comes. But, buddy, I got one foot ready. When I left that other foot, and the rapture, zing, I'm out of here. I'm telling you, that's pretty fast. Pretty hard dragger forward, wouldn't it? Huh? God bless you. All right, Mike, would you have a closing prayer, please?